بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن من شيء إلا عندنا خزائنه وما ننزله إلا بقدر معلوم. وقال تعالى: وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم. Alhamdulillah, we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has given us this very great opportunity to do some khidmat and service for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not something that has happened from our side or because of anything from our side, but this is only from the choice, selection and tawfiq and ability given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity that we can be in the khidmat and we can be in the service of deen. So we need to and what our ulama explained to us, that when a person is involved in the effort of deen and a person in whatever way is serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this directly does not necessarily mean that a person is accepted in the court of Allah. However, what is meant is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity and Allah has given us a chance that we can be in that environment and in that path where if we do things correctly and we do what is required from us and we have the necessary sifat and qualities and the ikhlas and sincerity, if we do things correctly, then this is an opportunity and a chance for us that the end of this path will be acceptance and qubuliyat in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, this is the favor and the mercy of Allah is giving us the ability to be involved in the khidmat and service of deen. And firstly, what is our intention when we are getting together, when we are having these mudhakaras, and we are getting together to listen to these different talks of deen? Then firstly, we need to collect our intention. We need to understand that what is the main focus and what is the main objective. That the whole objective is firstly myself, how I can get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how a complete deen can come into my life, how the ma'rifat and recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come alive in my heart. So I need to have a change in my life. I'm involved in the khidmat of deen, I'm involved in teaching, I'm involved in the service of deen, but the primary objective, it is my need and it is my requirement, and that this is something that I require. So this is the intention that we need to make, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me this opportunity and this is something that is my need. And together with this, we have to regard this as an amanat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these students and these children as an amanat, whether it's children of whatever level, whether we are teaching in the maktab, whether we are teaching in a hifz class or in an alim class, or whether it's our own children at home, whatever it is, but we have been given a responsibility. This is a zimidari and a responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us. And the main focus and the main objective, the primary objective before everything else, with regards to my own personal life, with regards to my family, with regards to my children, with regards to the students, the primary objective is how each and every one of us can recognize who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how that recognition and how that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come into our hearts. So to understand who is Allah and to understand what is the relationship between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and myself, each and every student has to understand who is my Allah. And it is not only Allah, but it is my Allah, that whatever I require in my life, I can turn to my Allah and I can take whatever I want from Him. So who is my Allah? What is the relationship of my Allah with me? And then how to take from that Allah, every single person to become independent with regards to their deen and with regards to their iman. it shouldn't be that the students are growing up in such a way that they are practicing deen because of the people around them, because of their parents, because of the ustad or the apa that is ensuring that they're doing certain things. So they're practicing deen because of pressure around them, or they're practicing deen because that is the environment in place, everyone else is doing it, so I'll do it. Everyone else is going to the madrasa, so I'll also do it. Everyone else is going for Jummah Salah, so I'll also do it. But the moment you take them out of this environment, when there's nobody watching them, when there's nobody looking at them, when they've grown up, and for example, they found some job opportunity in some other country of the world, now will they have that desired level of iman to practice deen? Will from their own side, they will have that desire that this is my Allah, I love my Allah, my living and my dying is for my Allah? Each and every student has to grow up with these objectives in his heart. So this is also a talk that Mawlana Yusuf Saab Rahmatullah Ali once had given when he was in a jalsa in Mewat, in one madrasa in Mewat. He was attending a jalsa, and he mentioned in this jalsa that Alhamdulillah, this is the grace and the favor and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this learning and teaching of deen is taking place, and these students are learning the Quran, and these students are learning the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are learning the different aspects of deen. But he mentioned, if daily effort is not made from the side of the teachers and from the side of the parents as well, if the effort is not made for each and every one of us to understand who is my Allah and what is my objective in learning this deen and what is my objective in practicing this deen, then if you don't make this effort, you will not find istiqamat and perseverance in the lives of the children. So Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali gave two examples. The one example he gave is regarding the dua after adhan. Allahumma rabb hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma. That we say, O Allah, the Rabb of this complete call and invitation. So adhan is one of the salient features of Islam, one of the sha'air, one of the symbols of Islam. Such a great amal in our deen, yet adhan itself is not the objective. Adhan also has a Rabb. Allahumma rabb hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma was-salati al-qa'imah. Salah also, which is the greatest amal and action in our deen, salah itself is not the objective. Salah also has a Rabb, that we are performing our salah to make that Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, happy. So we have to understand that ourselves as well, this objective has to be renewed in our hearts. And I will explain to you inshallah, like you have heard before regarding certain a'mal, that if we bring it into our lives and we try to implement it in the lives of others, this will assist us greatly in realizing this objective. So this was the first example Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi had given. The second example Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi had given was the example of Hazrat Umar radiallahu an. That Umar radiallahu an, after making so much of effort upon his heart and so much of effort upon iman, his iman had reached such a level that whenever he used to begin with his recitation of Quran, before starting to recite Quran, he used to repeat to himself with so much of azmat and greatness and respect in his heart, he used to repeat, Hadha kalamu Rabbi, Hadha kalamu Rabbi, this is the kalam of my Rabb, this is the speech of my Rabb, of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he understood very well who is his Rabb. And like this, not only Umar radiallahu anhu, but other Sahaba radiallahu anhu as well, they mentioned the statement, تَعَلَّمْنَا الْإِيمَانِ قَبْلَ أَن نَتَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ ثُمَّ تَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنِ فَازْدَدْنَا بِهِ إِيمَانًا. That we learned iman before learning Quran. Thereafter we learned Quran, and with every ayat of Quran we increased in iman and we gained closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah Ali mentioned that if we are not making a daily effort on our iman, on the iman of the students, we're not making an effort on our objective, what is the maqsad behind all of this, then kalam will remain but Rabbi will not remain. So the child will understand that this is one kitab like other kitabs, this is a book like other books, the child will go through all the processes. He will recite Quran, and he will recite it correctly, and he will memorize it, and he will recite it with tajweed, and he will learn the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But is the reality of iman, the reality of deen, coming into his heart? Does he have that desire in his heart that I want to give my life for the deen of Allah, I want to sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That will not come alive in his heart. So this is an effort that has to take place daily. And if we want this effort to have an effect, since I mentioned also that this is a great amanat and responsibility, so by us teaching in any institution, by us involved in the khidmat and service of deen, it is firstly for myself, that my islah, my tarbiyat has to take place, I have to get closer to Allah, my iman has to increase, and this is a great amanat and responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on my shoulders, that each and every student has to grow up with this azam and with this determination in his heart, that my life, my living and my dying is for you, O my Allah. And I am prepared to sacrifice everything for you, Ya Allah. And not only that, the first is La Maqsood Illallah. I have no other objective except you, Ya Allah, except your pleasure. And the second is La Matloob Illa I'la'u Kalimatillah. I have no other desire in my heart, Ya Allah, except that complete deen comes alive in the entire world. And for this to happen, I am prepared to sacrifice everything. So if we want this jazba and this determination and this aspiration to come alive in the children, and we want the reality of iman to come into their lives, we want them to understand who is Allah, we want them to understand how to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want them to make that decision that I want to give my life for Allah. If we want this to happen, it will not happen by us merely studying certain aspects of the muzakara or memorizing and by hearting certain aspects of this entire imani amal program that is in place. So if I have to study it a lot, and if I have to spend time in it, and if I have to memorize it, and I know the entire system off by heart, that itself is not sufficient, because this is not, it should not be treated as a syllabus, like how we understand in a syllabus, you are teaching fiqh, you are teaching aqidah, you are teaching hadith, so there's a certain book that you will teach from, there's a certain syllabus that you have to complete, and you have to give examination on that, and it suffices on that, and it stops there. But rather, this is not a formal syllabus, this is a hal, and a condition that is taking place from heart to heart. It is moving from the heart of the ustad to the heart of the student, from the heart of the apa to the heart of the student. So this is what we call tarbiyat amal and ruhani amal, that is from heart to heart. So if we have these amal in our lives and we regard it to be important, I'm not bringing these amal in my life because it's the system of the institution that I'm teaching in, I'm not bringing these amal in my life because this will primarily benefit the students and the students need it and that's why I'm learning it, but rather before everything else I regard it to be my need. And this was the difference between us and Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Despite Sahaba radiallahu anhum living in the best of times, the greatest of times, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were the greatest of people after Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, yet Sahaba radiallahu anhum, all the time they had this worry and concern that what is happening to my iman? What is the level of my iman? I need to make effort upon my iman. They used to get together specifically for this purpose. And they used to carry out certain amal. So these amal that we are going to explain to you, this is found in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They used to carry out these amal. And through this, eventually in this very dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had announced, radiallahu anhum wa radu'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with them, and they are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the ultimate objective. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. The greatest thing is the pleasure of Allah. So according to how much of these amal are in my life, practically in my life, before even speaking about the students and how much they need it, and the adults and the people of the community and how they'll benefit and what a great need it is for them, before all of that, I myself, I am the one who is the greatest in need. I need these amal. I require these amal. Not a day should go by that I'm not carrying out these amal. So if we regard it to be our need and we are practically doing it, even if we cannot do everything every day, but whatever we can manage, we're trying our best and we're trying to do these amal, then there's no need to be concerned of how we are going to learn the amal and how we're going to put it forward and what example we're going to use and how we're going to explain to the students. All of that we can do. We can study for it, we can prepare ourselves, we can think of what example to use in the classroom, but that is all secondary. The main thing is, if this is in my life and practically I regard it to be important, automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that this will affect the hearts of the students, and we'll see changes coming in the lives of the students. And not only that, because we will be paband and we will see to it that we are doing every one of these amal, including the 8 intentions. So part of the 8 intentions is that every amal I do, every action I do, every sacrifice I do for deen, one of the intentions is, Ya Allah, use this as a means of hidayat and guidance for the entire mankind. So not only will our students benefit, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spread deen and hidayat and khair in the entire world without us even realizing, and all of this will be in our account because of this azam and determination we have made in our hearts. So we find in South America as well, alhamdulillah, with the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how adults and how children are benefiting from these amal. And you can see what type of aspiration and desire these children are growing up with. On one occasion, we went with Maulana Yusuf Saab to Venezuela to attend the Jalsa there. So before attending the Jalsa, we were sitting with the grade 1 students, 6-year-old students, and Maulana was explaining to them the importance of making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, zikr with tawajjuh and concentration. And Maulana gave them the example of Allahu Akbar, that how we can recite Allahu Akbar with concentration. And Maulana asked the students, 6-year-old students, Maulana asked them that now for 2 or 3 minutes, let us all silently, individually, let us close our eyes, let us repeat Allahu Akbar. And after repeating Allahu Akbar for a short while, whatever your heart desires, you must ask from Allah, because Allah's attention is turned to you. Right now you are making His zikr, you are asking, you are remembering Him. So whatever your heart desires now, ask from Allah and Allah will give it to you. So there was silence in the classroom and the students were engaged in the zikr of Allah. Then Maulana asked a few students that what did you make dua for and what did you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So the 1 6-year-old Venezuelan girl, Maulana asked her, what dua did you make? And immediately she answered and she said, I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah must use me as a means of guidance and hidayat for the entire mankind. So imagine a girl in that environment, but she is growing up with this jazbah and determination that I want to give my life for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must use me to bring His deen alive. So this is the actual objective that we need to see to this, that are the children understanding who is Allah? Do the children understand that when they are in difficulty, when they have any problem, when they have any need, they should turn immediately to Allah. They should carry out these amal and take whatever they want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for this to be achieved and for this to happen, firstly in my life and then in the life of the students, I need to bring these amal into my life. So part of these amal we will explain to you, as you know, that in the entire system of imaniyat, there are 4 imani amal, and they are the 6 azgar. So to explain these 6 azgar, firstly, which is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the most effective and that we should try to bring alive in every student, in every young child, in every adult, in every program that we are doing, the entire community to bring this amal into their lives, that we recite the kalima la ilaha illallah and we take whatever we want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, when Yusuf rahmatullahi had asked the people around him that, do you know who is that person that is mustajab, that whatever dua he makes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely answer his dua? So then he explained, he said, any person when he's making dua and within his dua he recites la ilaha illallah, and when reciting la ilaha illallah, to pull on the word Allah, La ilaha illallah. So it gives us time to concentrate. And then to negate whatever our heart is affected with, and to affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that can do it for me. So for example, a person has some financial difficulty, or a person has some difficulty in the khidmat and service of deen. Sometimes there's difficulty in the institution. Sometimes the students are not listening to me. The students are very disrespectful. Sometimes there's challenges between the people that we are working with. And this happens because we are insan. Sometimes there'll be challenges with the people we work with on a daily basis. Sometimes there's challenges from my own family. There's challenges with regards to my health, with regards to my financial situation, with regards to my marriage. All of this, we put it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, a person is making dua for shifa, and then you recite, La ilaha illallah. And Ya Allah, nobody can give me shifa except you. And illallah, O Allah, you are the only one who can give me shifa. So I'm not turning to anyone else, I'm not looking at anything else, even though people have spoken to me about a certain hospital and a certain medication and a certain doctor, and I will go through that process. I will take the asbab and the means, because that is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Ya Allah, I'm not turning to that at all. Immediately my heart is turning to you, and I'm asking you, Ya Allah, that you grant it to me. Nobody can do it except you. So Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that whoever brings this amal into his life, whenever he's making dua, you recite La ilaha illallah, and you take whatever you require from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will be the means of a person becoming mustajab. That whatever this person requires, whatever this person asks for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it to him. So this is one amal that we can try to bring into our lives, and especially for those that are involved in the khidmat and service of deen. Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi had advised to carry out this amal and to think of certain objectives in our mind. So the first thing to ponder about, especially for those in the service and khidmat of deen, if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept us for deen, Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that we take our time with concentration, we recite this kalima. So we recite La ilaha illallah, and we ponder over three things. So whilst reciting, the first thing we think about, nobody can accept me for the work of deen except you, Ya Allah. So a person negates himself, even though I'm involved in servicing deen and in so many different types of khidmat of deen, but it has nothing at all to do with me. It's not my effort at all. It is only through the will and grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah is giving me tawfiq and ability to be in the khidmat and service of deen. So nobody can accept me for the work of deen except you, Ya Allah. And this is a form of dua that we are asking Allah, that O Allah, please accept me for the service and khidmat of deen. So we recite the kalima for a short while, we ponder over this. Then the second thing we ponder about whilst reciting the kalima is La maqsood illallah. I have no other objective except you, Ya Allah, except the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after reciting for a while, the third thing we think about, La matlub illa ihlau kalimatillah. I have no other desire except that your deen comes alive. So if we don't remind ourselves of these objectives, many times the whole effort of shaitan is to take our heart away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to take our heart away from the objective. So then the heart and the mind will go to other things. It will go to position, that why am I not getting a good position in this institution. It will go to so many different things. It will go to ikhtilafat between people, and it will go to ghibat and slander, and it will go to so many different things. But if I know I'm sacrificing for you, Ya Allah, whether people are happy with me or not, but Ya Allah, I'm doing it to make you happy. And if your deen is coming alive, that is the main thing. Whether people know that I am the means of it or not, whether people recognize me or not, whether people give me status or not, that doesn't matter to me at all. As long as your deen is coming alive, Ya Allah, that is the most important thing to me. So when we do this, we will find great benefit in this, and this will be a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting us to serve his deen. So we make this intention that this amal, inshallah, we will bring into our lives. And we will leave each and every person with this amal. It's not only for the children and the students, but every person in every home, the parents of the students also, my entire family also, every gathering that we have, whether it's a masjid program, whether it's a ladies program, but how this amal can come alive. So this is one of the six azkar. Then to take our time, whether it's for a short while every day, whether it's every second day, every third day in the beginning, we might not be able to do all these amal every day, but the main thing is to try all the time, whenever we have free time. Sometimes the entire day had passed, I couldn't do all the amal, so I'll try to do one amal, I'll try to do two amal from these six azkar and from the eight intentions. So for a person that is involved in the khidmat of deen, so many of these amal are vital for us, the six azkar as well, then making the eight intentions for every one of our amal, whether it's the amal of deen, the amal of dunya. Then daily muzakara in my own home to the people that I mix with every day, in my own social gatherings, even if it's one or two statements, but to speak about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remind myself, to remind others that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one in control, Allah is the only one giving benefit, Allah is the only one that is giving harm. So we try to do this amal as well. So the second of the six azkar that we can try to implement and bring into our lives is to recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And here also with concentration, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And we ponder over certain things. So many virtues of this dua have been mentioned in the ahadith, and the objective of this dua is to take us from a weak situation to a strong situation. So for example, a person whilst reciting La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and a person is pondering that Ya Allah, nobody can take me from a weak level of iman to a strong level of iman except you, Ya Allah. And even if we do this for 1 minute a day, but it has a very, very great effect. And by doing this, a person will have itminan and peace and sukoon in his heart. So sometimes it might be difficulty in the madrasa, in the teaching, that I'm finding difficulty in putting the lesson forward, I'm finding difficulty with the students. So La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, nobody can take me from this position of being a weak ustad to the position of being a strong ustad except you, Ya Allah. So whatever situation we are in, nobody can take me from a position of sickness to shifa except you, Ya Allah. So this is the second of the six azkar that we can try to bring into our lives. Then the third zikr is that we take our time with tawbah and nadamat and regret in our hearts to recite La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minaz zalimin. To mention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have so much of faults in our own personal lives, and then so much of mistakes and weaknesses and faults in the khidmat and service of deen. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to completely forgive us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising, like in the Quran, the incident is mentioned of how Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam made this dua. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That just like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken Yunus alayhi salam out of this difficult situation, like that, anyone from the mu'mineen that have to recite this and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what we are going through, no matter what difficulty we are in, if we recite this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove our difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us ease and comfort. So we make intention to bring this amal into our lives as well. Then the fourth zikr from the six azkar is to recite durood and salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in whatever sirah and whatever manner we want to recite, even if it's just repeating sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then all of these azkar that we are mentioning and this entire program of imaniyat, this is separate to what we are already doing daily. So whatever is our daily tarteeb and system and ma'amulat that we do, whether it's with regards to tilawat of Quran, that we have a certain amount we recite, and whether it's the different azkar that we recite, so that is there in its place and that should carry on. The objective of these azkar, here the number is not maqsood. Like in the other azkar, for example, after Asr Salah to recite 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, or to recite one or two paras of Quran every day. So this should continue. But the objective of these amal, we don't look at the number of times we are doing it, but rather the objective here is to concentrate, even if it's for a short while, even if it's for half a minute, 1 minute, 5 minutes, to concentrate and to use these amal as a means of taking what we want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to recite durood and salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to ponder over certain aspects. So whilst we are reciting durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing we think about is how much of sacrifice and qurbani and difficulty Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through for our sake, so that deen and hidayat and iman can reach us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through this sacrifice and difficulty for the sake of deen. So as we are reciting this salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are pondering, for example, how the famous incident Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a walk to Taif to invite the people to Islam, and how they ill-treated him, and how they stoned him, and how they mocked him and insulted him, but he persevered and he made dua for their progeny. And like this, the different types of sacrifice that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had went through, that today, alhamdulillah, I am a Muslim, alhamdulillah, I am practicing my deen, I am sending salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to ponder over the qurbani and sacrifice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as we're reciting this salawat, for a short while, to ponder over this. And then as we are reciting, the second thing we ponder about is the different du'as and supplications that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many times he made du'a for the ummah, he made du'a for me and you, on different occasions. And like how in the one hadith it is mentioned, that every Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a special du'a that they could use, that definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stored this du'a, and he's waiting for the day of Qiyamah, where he's going to use this du'a for the benefit of his ummah. That how the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be forgiven, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant them salvation. So imagine on that day also, in one hadith it is mentioned, that on the day of Qiyamah, people will go to different Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. The entire mankind, not only the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rahmatul lil alameen. So the entire mankind, they will go to different Anbiya alayhi wa sallam to try and ask them for intercession. And Anbiya alayhi wa sallam will give this answer, that we are concerned regarding our own selves. And eventually people will reach Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will fall down into sajda, and he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for intercession, and he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his people. So we ponder over this, we ponder over the different du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we recite salawat upon him. And the third thing we think about is the different sifat and qualities, the beautiful qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to ponder over this as well. That how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, for example, mentions, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are upon a very high level of good akhlaq and character. So to ponder over his sifat, to ponder over his qualities, to ponder how he is to make sabr and tahammul with people, and to ask Allah from within our hearts that, O Allah, make me an embodiment of the sifat and qualities and attributes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bring alive his sifat, bring alive his sunnat into my life. So this is the fourth from the six azkar. Then the fifth zikr that we can try to do is that we take out some time where we try to recite an ayat of Quran with tadabbur and concentration, to try and understand what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from me, to try and take guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran. So for example, a person opens randomly to any part of Quran. So the objective of this also is not to make tafsir of Quran, or not to delve into the interpretation of Quran. It's merely to try and bring some amal, some quality into my life. So a person will open some ayat of Quran, for example, it's speaking about the mercy and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe it's a sign that I need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy, for His forgiveness. So whatever it is, we try to see that what kind of message I can take and how I can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's many incidents of people that have carried out this amal and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided them. One incident that comes to mind in South America, one person mentioned to us that they were going out on a certain family get together, going out with their friends, going to a certain park where they're going to be getting together to have some food and sit there in the park. And this person is normally very regular in doing this amal, opening Quran and seeing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from them. So the person opened randomly the first ayat of Quran that they opened to, and they reached the ayat, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, that you should not eat any food that Bismillah was not recited upon it. That means you should stay away from impermissible food, from haram food. And this person took it as a sign, which is something unfortunately common in South America, where people don't have the perception of halal and haram. People are not consuming halal food. So this person understood or took a lesson, a message from here, that when I'm going to this gathering, I need to keep away from the meat items. I should eat the non-meat items, so I know I'm having that precaution with regards to halal. And like this, there's so many incidents. The more a person does this, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up to him. And then the sixth amal from the sixth azkar is that whenever we have any free time, if we know that I have now 10 minutes, 15 minutes available, I'm not occupied at this time, to perform two rakats of salah. And in the salah, to take whatever I want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by repeating certain ayat or repeating certain azkar in that salah. And from within my heart, whilst I'm repeating, I take whatever I want from Allah. Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned once that if a person in his salah had to even recite Allahu Akbar, a person just recited Allahu Akbar in his salah, and in this recital of Allahu Akbar, a person did not take something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person has lost out on a great opportunity. Will not return again. So a person is reciting Allahu Akbar, a person is reciting Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, a person is reciting Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, or Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It is a moment from within our hearts to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In one hadith it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion over and over again he repeated the ayat, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, trying to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his ummah. So sometimes we reciting Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and we're repeating it over and over again, and from within our hearts we are being grateful and thanking Allah for the favors and ni'mats He has blessed us with. Sometimes we're repeating Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Sometimes we are repeating Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la, and we are asking Allah for whatever we want. So this is one amal also that we make intention to bring into our lives. And then like we mentioned, that these eight intentions, most importantly for any person involved in the teaching of deen, in the khidmat and service of deen, to try and make this part and parcel of my daily life. Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that if these eight intentions become part of our habit, that all the time we are making these intentions for our dunyawi amal, for our dini amal, we are making these intentions, and a time comes where for 3 days continuously, without much effort and thought, we make these intentions, then like how blood flows in the body, that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause iman to flow within us. And Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that these intentions are sifate qubuliyat. These are the qualities that will get us to become accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make intention, inshallah, we will bring these amal into our lives. The muzakara of iman as well, the ta'lim al-fadail as well, zikr with concentration, different azkar and du'as with concentration. This entire program of amal, the 4 imani amal, the 6 azkar, whatever it is, we make intention to bring it into our lives. And by doing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause us to benefit, and we will be a means of the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam benefiting, primarily our own family, our own students, and each and every person will benefit. And like we know as well, that every Monday, from 10 o'clock in the morning, South African time, from 10 to 11, this muzakara takes place, where the same amal are discussed and the same description of the amal is given. So we try our best, inshallah, if we can listen in live, that will be the best. Or if we have to listen to a recording later on, but this is how we can benefit as well. And then the training center in South Africa, we can try, if we have not been before, to go for the first time. If we have been before, to go over and over again, that how we can benefit from the training center as well for the few days, for the few weeks, to learn the hakikat and depth of this amal. And then to request them from South Africa how they can come over and over again. Alhamdulillah, they have come in the past as well. And even if they cannot come from South Africa, now they are ulama, alhamdulillah, and apas that have traveled more than once to South Africa, and they have benefited when the people of South Africa came to them. They know the amal, so we can benefit from them as well in the country we are in. We can benefit from them, and we can bring these amal into our lives. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this all a reality in our lives. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.